Welcome to the Enlighten Up Podcast, where I am going to take you into a deep exploration of what it means to exist in this current reality. We are going to raise your vibes, open your mind, expand your heart, and dive deep into the wondrous mysteries and possibilities of this lifetime. There's been a spiritual catalyst that has set in motion the awakening process of many across the globe to return to the knowingness of self and unite what has been separated. Together, we're going to bring light into that darkness. We're going to remember the joy of living. But most of all, we're going to turn up the volume of our own eternal power and do the thing we're here to do. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Enlighten Up Podcast. Today I'm excited to introduce you to someone I met in Vegas late last year. Met her at the Arcadia Festival that Aubrey Marcus held in Las Vegas, Nevada at the Meow Wolf Complex, which is just super fun. And I need to introduce you to Juliet Magdalene, who is an incredible woman. She is so powerful in her healing journey and what she is helping to facilitate for others. And one of the key things that I think is so important is her ability to get people in their body and embodying their healing. So Juliet, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing, girl?
Thanks, Nicole. I'm doing great. What a great way to spend a Monday connecting with you. I was literally thinking after a bit, like, Viva Las Vegas. It's so fun how we connected. And I was thinking about the story for myself. I didn't even realize that I reposted one of your viral memes that I loved with the adult woman talking to the inner child. And I reposted. I was like, this is so great. And then later we synced up online going into the VIP lounge, and the universe works in just beautiful, fun little ways.
I know, that's so funny. So for anyone who may not know, or maybe you don't follow me on Instagram, last summer in June, I posted a clip from a movie. I can't even remember the name of the movie. Uptown Girls. And it's just a little inner child meme, and it went totally viral, And I think it's got over 10 million views. And Juliet reposted it. And then we didn't realize until we were sitting next together. She's like, wait, were you the one who posted the...
Yeah, I was like, that's so good. So funny.
That's so funny. So I'm so glad that the universe connected us through a festival of all things. And of course, it was my very first festival.
Hey.
Yeah, you totally popped my cherry. You were there with me the whole time. Yeah, we had a lot of fun. And there was so many cool experiences that we had at that particular festival. But the one that I thought was so cool that I got to share with you was when we did the breathwork exercise. That was powerful.
Yeah, I was reminiscing of that before coming on here too. And I remember tears streaming down my eyes, and we were just holding each other's hands, and yeah, feel free to share.
Okay. So, I've done a little bit of breath work. Well, I shouldn't say a little bit. I've done a lot of breath work, but I haven't done a lot of breath work facilitated classes or big group exercises. And that was, something that I found her technique to be really wild, which I am embracing and going to be utilizing at my retreat for everyone who's going to be there, so that we really open the heart, because our hearts just blasted wide open in that. I just love how the breath does that. But
yeah,
what was really cool about this particular breathwork exercise is that it completely facilitated a psychedelic experience, I think, for both of us.
Yeah, it was pretty wild.
So what did you experience through when we had to go through the breath work, and then they had us sit down and face each other, and we had to stare into one eye of each other?
that what happened for me? Well, we were kind of like in a dark room and the lights were a little bit trippy. I remember, just like connecting into your eye, which I'm gonna like do right now and just sort of flash back to that moment. And a couple of things were happening. One is that I think she was like asking to connect with someone who, was really important to you that, you wanted to just have a moment to connect with. And like, I remember just I thought about my dad and how much our relationship impacted what I do and why I do what I do. And you were just holding me with such like a steady, grounded presence and just breathing through that moment with me, which was really beautiful. And then I started looking at your face, and your face is like changing like dimensions, and I feel like I saw the alien, like an outer world version of you, and your face was turning blue and purple, and it was pretty wild. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, and I had the exact same experience. I saw so many different versions of you, and some of them were definitely galactic. And it was so wild. I remember like going, hold on a second, I'm not on anything right now. So I gotta like shake this out and just look. But it was such a beautiful experience. I think it's always truly I don't know. It stops you in your tracks when you can have these beautifully in-depth connections with people you don't know very well. Like we had, I think this was just our second day, right? Like, and to, you come across people on your path and there's already a sense of deep knowing. Like we know each other from other places and times. And to hold that space, I believe that we all hold certain codes within our field, within our emotions, within just our hearts that get activated and help open the other person up or create a sense of remembering that really facilitates some kind of healing that is brought forth just through a simple connection. And that breath work definitely opened that up for me with you.
Yeah, I feel that so much, and I love like that we can just have this conversation because it's such a different way of talking about being in this world and how to perceive like what's actually happening for us versus to us, and like how to kind of I'm always in this dance of how to bridge the gap between like my humanity and like the very practical humanness that we experience on a daily day. On a, wow, on a daily basis. And then this more, the divine nature of us and this part of us that continues to want to expand and understanding like we do hold these soul codes and we are actually here for one another. And it's such a beautiful mystery too. So it's like I'm always in the journey of just learning to trust myself and the process and the journey every single day, no matter what. And like when you kind of like let go of how it needs to be and put pressure on yourself, you can open yourself up to these like beautiful, intimate moments, which is what we genuinely shared. And you're right, it was like day two, and then like zoop, but we could just be right there with one another. No judgment,
Totally.
no
No
anything.
judgment. Yeah, I love that. I love that. So I want the audience to hear from you some of the work you're doing because I, being on this healing journey for several decades now, know that there's so many different facets to it and phases, and sometimes I think a lot of the time we diminish the power of our bodies, of this human technology that we're embodied in, this vessel that we're here with to have this experience here on Earth. And I'd love for you to kind of first just open up with the audience and speak to what you've learned from the body in a sense of healing empowerment that comes from really being in the body. And then I want to go a little bit into your journey.
So our bodies hold memories within us. And normally, if we don't have the tools or resources to create space to process through energy, to allow energy to move through us in a very organic way, it normally gets stuck, locked. And on my journey, I found, the trauma that I did not process through, or I didn't have the tools to go into. I didn't. So I was just going in life, going. I was in life like going through the motions, and I realized I kept coming up against repeating patterns that were so frustrating. It was like I didn't realize it felt like the world was against me and the God was against me, and I got the short end of the stick for so much. And I didn't realize this piece of I didn't have an outlet or a way to actually process through any of that energy in a healthy way. So what? I went to like partying and just putting my attention on boys and everything outside of myself to get a sense of validation. And yet there was always something that like felt like it was missing within me. And it was this reclamation of recognizing how cut off from my body I actually was, how cut off from my senses, like actually being in a mindful relationship with my senses. And to the core, really what it was I had no freaking clue what it even meant to be present. Like the present moment wasn't even a concept in my mind until The Power of Now fell off a bookshelf when I was 19 years old. And I was like, holy shit, there's a the whole like just expanded my mind in that moment. Like, of course, but also like I didn't think about that. I didn't have that awareness. So it really became a journey of learning how to create spaciousness for myself, to be in my body, to learn the sensations that were coming up through me. And it's been this like relationship of how not to judge myself, how to really meet myself with compassion in that spaciousness, no matter what. And this is the thing, like I thought, okay, one and done. I meet my body and everything should be fine. And it's like, I realize what a freaking journey it actually is. And this is for like life, like growth over a lifetime. It's for how we get to meet ourselves whenever any sensation comes up. That's been kind of like the mastery that I've been cultivating within myself. And to recognize that, like creating that spaciousness within my body and within my mind, within my relationship to understand the emotions that are flowing through me, that is actually has become my priority versus trying to fit myself into a box or mold of who I think I should be to get ahead, to do the next thing, whatever. It's like if I don't have me and I'm not taking care of me, then who am I going to be when I get to any kind of success that I think is going to fulfill me? So it's been this like total reconstructing of how I approach life and how I approach myself as like that number one tool, knowing that when I'm connected to my being, I get to serve so much more and from a place of true authenticity and me not trying to like perform and put on masks and no.
Well, even like when we think about authenticity and being true to ourselves and living from a place of our truth and authentic nature, do you think it's possible to do that if you're not literally feeling your emotions in your body?
That's a
Like,
great question.
what's the difference between feeling your emotions and feeling your emotions? Because there's a difference.
I mean, it's one recognizing the internal dialogue that happens when you do feel your emotions, because normally that's a loop that we get stuck in that has us go into the downward spiral. We're like, we feel frustration or shame or sadness. We're like, oh, I shouldn't be feeling this. This is bad for me to feel. I should be thinking of XYZ. I should be ahead of this already. So it's like actually this intense judgment that we'll have that generally goes unconsciously. We're living in our life so unconsciously of how we're actually talking to ourselves. So from that space, I believe that's where we come up against these like moments where we're really frustrated and we can't actually feel like we can communicate in a more effective way. We don't feel understood because we're actually missing the link that we're of how we're actually relating to ourselves in that moment. We're actually misunderstanding what's happening to ourselves. We're misunderstanding that this is actually our body trying to communicate with us. Our emotions are always pointing to like desires and needs within ourselves. So feeling your emotions and really creating that spaciousness where there's no judgment, I think there is a real difference and a revelation that you experience when you allow there to be a non-attachment to what those sensations, how those sensations are moving through you versus the emotion loop of I shouldn't be feeling this. Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. I'm a really sad person. I'm sad all the time. I don't want to be sad. Or, you know, just identifying with that emotion. When you identify so heavily and it keeps happening and then it keeps happening in your life and you're like, why does this keep happening? The missing link is always us. It's like you are the one you are waiting for. And that's where my work comes in, where it's like understanding how we can be with our emotions in a new way to specifically break the mind emotion loop. Because what we do is we ping pong. Okay, feeling anger. Oh, that person pissed me off when they cut me off in traffic the other day. And then you feel that anger again. And then, oh, like that was really sad that when I don't know, saw the pigeon fall out of the tree. I don't know why that's coming to me. And then you feel sadness. And then, oh, shame, because I didn't cross everything off of my to-do list yesterday. And we just keep going into this ping pong. So my work is to actually break that loop and come into the body where you can like cut through the story and actually just allow yourself to process through this sensation. And what it does is it offers a beautiful access to your intuition, to your true, genuine life force that gives you the energy to everything that you want to do in your life. But it's,
yeah, you're right, because there's a difference between cognitively going through your emotions and understanding your emotions versus absolutely like just turning the mind off and going so deep into the actual feeling, which doesn't allow you to think your way through it. It doesn't allow you to form opinions or judgments or anything because you're so immersed in the feeling that that's all mm-hmm. you can really do is be there. And when it comes to activating and strengthening your intuitive gifts that are unique for all of us, we all have different ones that we're meant to use in different ways. But if you're not willing to go so deep into the feeling of it, meaning that you actually have to be in your body, which can be very uncomfortable for people who are more empathic or psychic in nature, because their subconscious patterning or even unconscious patterning is a belief that they're not safe in their body. And so they won't actually allow themselves to be there for very long. And in order to overcome that belief, you're going to have to be really, really uncomfortable for a brief period. Well, maybe not a brief period of time, but a period of time to understand how to rebuild your connection there, like you were saying, because that connection is a missing link for a lot of things. So for you, what was your breakthrough moment when you realized, oh, wow, I need to get in my body? And then being in your body, what was the difference for you? What did you notice that was so different in the transformation of what came from your healing?
There were different points, you know, you were saying that the healing journey has different, almost like seasons and cycles. The first breakthrough moment for me was recognizing like the chaos of feeling and confusion that I had in my body and in my mind, and holding it. So actually, instead of like suppressing it and going to do something else to numb out and not just think of the shitty feeling that I was sitting in for a long time, and honestly the suffering, for the first time I surrendered into it and I held space for that confusion and I breathed through that moment. And in that moment is when the breakthrough came of recognizing all the like stories, everything I was telling myself. I realized I was filtering everything through that lens, and I was so hooked into everything I was thinking. And once that was like the veil was lifted for me to realize, holy shit, I can think of and see and perceive the world or this person in a totally new way, other than the way that I've been thinking it, maybe all my life or in this moment. I have that power. That was the first moment of freedom for me, and to recognize, like, if I have this moment, then literally I can choose this in any single moment of my life. Whoa. And that was just like major for me. But that was really actually before I attuned to my body. Because for me, I don't know if we get into like your relationship with sexuality and your relationship with, you know, how you're expressing yourself. I was definitely in a state of more performative femininity than actually being in my body. And what that meant for me was recognizing how in my head I still was when it came to expressing myself with a partner, or when I would even be out dancing, I would always be very self-conscious and I would be very in my mind of how something was looking, all still perceived by how other people were looking at me. So I took some pole dancing classes at one point a number of years ago, and it was beautiful because I could just like feel what it meant to be in my body and like just allow my body to express herself, to really like fun music and really in a really sexy way, that I began to like feel my erotic energy in a new way. And I was really feeling it, not for anyone else, but just for me. And that was a beautiful moment. And then from there is actually when, shortly after, my modality, the embodied effect, kind of like came through for me shortly after I did those pole dancing classes. Because I realized that when it still, though, I was on this journey of like, okay, seeing how locked I was with my mental space, my thoughts. And then it became like how locked I was in my sexual expression, okay, finding that freedom. And then the next step for me was really recognizing how locked I still was in my emotional expression. And so for me, the breakthroughs came from holding space for me to feel myself in a new way and experiencing freedom as a result, and allowing myself to practice being in that free flow expression without giving a fuck about how it felt or who was seeing or what. And from there, I learned to take up space. I learned to enjoy the moment for myself because I'm the only one living it in that moment. And that me taking up that space doesn't take away from other people. In fact, it invites other people into that exploration. So, yeah.
Oh yeah, no, I love that. I love that. There's so much there that we can dive into. I mean, just even this idea of taking up space. So many, I think that triggers people. I know that I would have been triggered by that. It's like, what do you mean taking up space? Like, no, I just need to be small. I just need to like, you know, be very mindful of, you know, not interfering in someone else's reality or experience, or like don't ruffle any feathers. And it's interesting because when you talked about earlier the lens, like there's a narrative, there's a story that you're constantly living through, and it's this plot line. And for you, what was the main thread of your narrative that colored your lens so deeply that nothing could ever really shift from there, that you finally realized, oh, I don't have to see it this way? Like, what was the coloring of that lens?
And by coloring, do you mean like, what was I saying to myself, or what was...
Yeah, like what was the main theme?
The theme was completely devoid of my own self. It was literally like my attention was outward. My attention, I was trying to like utilize other people and how they were interacting with me as my source of self-worth and validation. So it was this like, that was the experience where I didn't even have a connection to myself, or a world where I was in a conscious dialogue with my internal world. So if I were to kind of like go into it, I was really judgmental of myself. I never thought I was enough. It was thinking I still had to like perfect myself and appear in a certain way and be a certain way. And when I wasn't, when my emotions would get the best of me, quote unquote, like, AKA, I just, you know, was triggered and I didn't know how to handle those moments. I was really, really hard on myself. So it was this like real like face-to-face moment with myself to realize just like how I had been so disconnected to my internal world. I had no idea how to be in relationship with it. So
it's, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's in the case, this is important because it's really easy to become the victim when, you know, it's really easy to stay the victim when your source of validation is always externalized. Because then, one, you've given all your power. What a lot of people don't realize is that that's a choice that we make. And oftentimes when we're younger, we're taught that way. You know, I was having a conversation with a girlfriend about this, about how even when children come up to us, like, you know, whether you're a mom, a dad, or you're a family member to a younger, like maybe it's my niece or my nephew coming up to me and they did a painting or they drew something or, you know, whatever. And they're like, look what I did. And your response is, oh my God, that's so amazing. You did such a great job, you know, and you go over the top and you just make sure that they feel really validated and really loved. And really what we should be doing is turning it around and saying, wow, how does that make you feel? Mm-hmm. And get them to feel the source of validation within themselves first.
Yeah.
And I think that's really powerful. And I think that we're brought up in this world where, yeah, we want to show people that we love them and we want to encourage, especially a child's greatness. But the way to encourage a child's greatness is for them to first feel that greatness within themselves, so they have something to anchor into always, no matter if it's outside of them or not.
I totally agree. Yeah. And I, no matter like what your journey is and experiences, at the end of the day, like we're learning from each other. We're in this playground of life. We're meant to learn from each other. But the anchoring point is this connection to us, because we are can only and ever like we are filtering life through our lens of being and perception. So yeah. To really come into that like willpower and to strengthen that, you know, I think that's the journey just over our lifetime.
I've noticed that this is something I talked about with people in my coaching programs. when we're doing a lot of deeper work and it starts to get really scary because we're going into the areas that are not on the surface anymore. And oftentimes we may have these ideas of what we think we believe something to be. For instance, in the programming that I help people connect to help them in their healing journey, the first thing I need to redefine is their relationship with power, because power is a fuel source for your inward journey. But we have such a distorted relationship with power, one that so many of us have disconnected from and actually deep down feel quite afraid of. And so one of the things that I've noticed is when I get people to connect to their truth or something that they need to really be mindful of, is instead of trying to think or understand, comprehend through your mind what is going on, we need to go into the feelings. And the feelings are held within the body, like we're talking about here. The body is your truth serum. The body is not going to lie to you. And so when you're coming up and you're having this anxiety and you don't know where it's coming from, or your body has gone into some kind of paralysis from a fear that has been triggered, but your mind is like, but that doesn't make any sense. Well, your body's trying to tell you something's not in alignment here with what your thought process is. And your thought process is trying to tell you essentially, you're crazy. Don't worry about it. Just keep going, like move forward. But that's not what your body actually wants you to do. Your body wants you to resolve it, wants you to look at it, because your body's a very intelligent communication system. So for you, what have you noticed in your work with others that helps them connect to that truth serum of that the body seems to start releasing when we allow it to be front and center on stage as opposed to somewhere in the background?
Yeah, I mean, it's like an epiphany when people begin to meet themselves in a new way, which is exactly what you're saying, not think their way through something, but just allow themselves to feel through what needs to be felt. Remembering, if it's coming up through me, it's for me, not against me. So in my like classes, so I have a modality called the embodied effect. And it really is like when you allow yourself to come into the state of embodiment, the effect of that. And it's beautiful because they come in with like nerves and their fear and maybe a little resistance. And I support them, I guide them to actually bring those parts along for the ride. Because what do? We normally push away those thoughts. We say they're wrong. The self-attack, it's very sneaky. It comes back in. So I guide them to notice the resistance, to notice when the mind is trying to talk them out of it, and still allow themselves to connect with the sensation and trust where their body wants to move. Not giving a fuck of how it feels like or what it looks like, rather. More so because sometimes I'll have people in a room doing this together. And they are giving themselves space to break through that resistance. And on the other end is they can hear messages from their body. They know exactly what like the answer is to a problem that they've been, you know, that has been on their mind. They have access to actually how they want to lead themselves through a conversation, a difficult conversation with someone. It's like they open up into that space of freedom to really align with their true self, their highest self, because they're no longer blocking the truth of what's happening for them. So it's like when they can hold space for that truth, the truth is there, and then they can go forth. So it's really this like entire reprogramming of how we are in relationship with our bodies, because you're right, it's so intelligent.
Yeah. And for people to be able to access that intelligence of like, oh, that's what I need to say to this person. Oh, this is how I need to kick off the conversation. Or, oh, like this is maybe something I need to explore on my path. all of that information comes through, like you said, because you are no longer blocking the truth. And we block the truth by not being embodied. Mm-hmm. Talk to me more about this embodied effect, in how like you came across it, understood it, and teach it to others.
Yeah. So I think it was like 6 or 7 years ago now, where I was in a relationship and we were coming up against the same like arguments. And I had done a lot of personal development work. And I realized like no matter how many books I read or courses I took or mentors I had, like nothing actually changed the moment of trigger for me, that intense, visceral, emotional moment where I just would react in a way that I normally would react. And I didn't know how to hold myself in that space to create a new pattern or to like access what I really wanted to say. So this was a little bit after those pole dancing classes where I started to just give myself space to move for me. And so instead of like word vomiting all over my partner at the time, I went into the, like the privacy of my own room, like kind of like shut the lights down. I went on my mat and I just like sat there sobbing. But at the same time, I actually like played some music just so I could be in my own space. And what started to happen was like, without me even really noticing, my body started to move very organically. And long story short, like a few songs went by and I started to feel a shift. And after that, that's when I had access of how I actually wanted to, what I wanted to convey to my partner at the time. And I was able to come to him more grounded and we were able to come into solution. I was like, holy shit, that felt good. That's pretty crazy. And so long story short, I trusted that and I kept coming back to my own space and I actually met myself in my deep sadness, my grief, moments of shame, moments of anger, of rage, and learned and like stayed with myself enough where I felt that shift and I could alchemize. And I didn't have the words at the time, but what I was doing is alchemizing that energy into a state of being that really aligned with my truth, where I could feel grounded and move forward in a way where I could be conscious and respond versus be in my reactionary mode. And so a few years later, I came across this woman named Kasia Urbaniak, and she teaches like women to have way more effective like communication skills and just really be in their power. And she had verbiage and language for exactly what I had been experiencing for all those years, and literally the alchemy of like going from one state to another. And I was able to put language to what I had been experiencing for all those years. And so I had embodied it for myself. No one knew I was doing this behind closed doors. And it was like my best kept secret. It was what was supporting me to keep expanding and growing. And then I felt the call to start teaching this to others. And this was in 2020 when I first put together a 6-week program for my client who was an 8-year-old girl. She was a girl that I babysat like when I began my work as like my side support. And long story short, her and her family moved to a different state. And I was in touch with the mom and I was like, hey, I want to offer this like virtual somatic movement camp, let's call it. And it was wonderful, like offering that to her, because I could see how even a little girl, the intuitive knowing that was coming through, she would move through a session and she'd be like, I accessed a part of myself I never even knew was there, like saying things that I wasn't putting into her mouth, but she was just saying organically, understanding. Like if her friend was going through something, that she didn't have to take it personally and that she could have space for herself to feel through her emotions. So I was like, wow, okay. Worked beautifully with her. And then I was like, now it's time to bring it to the adults. And so I've been teaching it for the past 4 years now.
Okay. That's so beautiful. There's a couple things I want to talk about here and I don't want to miss one of the points. Okay. Let's just talk about this little girl and how powerful it is that she learned boundaries through embodiment, because knowing what is yours and what is not yours, and understanding that, wow, this isn't mine, I don't have to take it on personally. So personally, meaning I don't need to take it on to help someone else, but I also don't need to take it on and feel like because they're going through something, it's something about me. Like, you know, like we, because if you are creating a lot of your validation through sources external to you, then if someone is going through something, now you've lost an external validation source point that doesn't allow you to feel safe. It doesn't allow you to feel valid or justified in your reality. And really, it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with someone else. But we live in a very codependent, relationship built society where we believe that that's what love is like, oh, I can feel everything you're feeling and I'm going to take it on and I'm going to understand it. And, you know, and it's, that's not really what this is about. Like you can be empathic to someone without actually taking it on. And so through the work of embodiment, we also learn boundaries to a much deeper level than we may understand, because that's something that I've realized in my own journey has become a much stronger sensation, is that if someone's going through something, before I would have been like, oh, what's wrong with me? What did I do? Like, is it something I've done? Like, you know, and I would start like coming up with all these narratives. Whereas now I'm like, yeah, they need to work on, like, they need to work through that. Like, whatever it is, like, yeah, they're going through something. And I don't bring any of it into my reality in a sense of making it about me. But we tend to do that a lot because we don't understand boundaries. So that's really cool. Yeah. That she could even have that awareness at such a young age to really give someone else the space to process and understand and go through whatever it is that they needed to go through and know that it had nothing to do with her. And then the other point that I wanted to make, which is starting to slip from my mind just even as I say it, but this idea of embodiment, our intuitive nature, it's so okay, when we think about the body as a communication system and movement, okay, this is really what I wanted to talk about, because I did, I spoke on my last podcast episode, I talked about my interaction through a mushroom journey with the 13th dimension and how I was being activated through a lot of movement with my hands and my arms in creating a lot of different symbols, movements, gestures that were orchestrating and directing a lot of my field, restructuring, reshuffling my entire field. But also I was in the movement, I was also communicating with other dimensions. And so through movement, which we're able to do much more freely, as you've experienced and talked about here, that you experience a sense of freedom from the mind or what you perceive you're supposed to be like, and instead just allow what is to move through you, through that freedom of movement, you can communicate with so much more in the field around you in heightened ways than we're used to. So
yeah,
what have you learned through the use of our bodies and our ability to move and allow those energies to move freely through us unencumbered, in how that has heightened your own communication with the field?
I love that question.
It's juicy.
Yeah, I like feel it in my heart. I feel it in my solar plexus. It's really what I feel has allowed me to drop into my divine nature and to really integrate what that actually means on like a more visceral level versus like letting my mind talk myself out of it. Like, this state of freedom that I've been able to now give gift to myself, really what it's having me it's ironic to use the word do, is to be. Just be with what is, as I am, with everything and everyone around me, as they are in the moment. I don't need to change anybody. I don't need to change anybody. That would be a lot of work. It would be a lot of exhaustion if I did that. That would, you know, and I used to take on that responsibility of feeling like the world, there needs to be changes, and like feeling massive responsibility to be a part of that change. And I realized that the change actually comes from my beingness. And through that, I'm able to quiet the voice of whatever ego or the way that I think sh things should be. And I open my heart, I lead with my heart to allow myself to more dance with what's in front of me and receive and to learn. I'm like constantly way more into a learning process than wanting to input, like, this is the way it should be. And whenever I get into that mode, there's a lot of resistance I feel. There's like conflict, there's tension. So for me, I've learned that there's so much more for me to learn and thus receive by just me being open to what is. I actually get to learn about energy more and people. I actually get to see and feel people way more than me trying to confine them into a box. When you were talking about like, so it's interesting. I haven't quite doubt. I'm learning about the spiritual dimensions and things like this, but I'm not quite in that space. I feel like there's so much, and it's like, what do I trust? You know, what's blah, 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 all that jazz. However, I am still having these very divine experiences, and I started to, because my relationship with my intuition became stronger. A few years ago, I felt a real call to start using crystal bowls. Like it was a thought first, the visual kept coming, and I always had this connection to my voice, but I wasn't really using it. And then the moment came where my voice and toning and the bowls came together, and I have been channeling like multi-dimensional energies, and light language is coming through, which in my brain, all I want to do is make comedy skits of me like channeling Chewbacca, because I'm like, what is this? I literally did it. I'll post it soon. But it's like, I'm open, I'm receptive, and I'm trusting. And when I allow that and enter the field with trust, actually, that's probably the biggest point. The receptivity from others, it's like they get to turn on their deeper sense of self-trust. And when I don't try and logic my way into like the gifts that are coming through me, the gifts do the work on their own. I actually don't have to do a lot. I can just be with what is and trust the moment, trust the invitations and the responses and the feedback that I receive. Really, I would say just come from a space of love. And I'm like, that's what it's about at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's, I think this idea of, well, again, like you said, having that trust to let go, to just freely move and allow yourself to be moved, which is a whole nother experience because, you know, you have an energy that is extremely powerful moving through you, and you've got to surrender control. And to surrender control, you also have to let go of what you perceive you're going to be looked as, like, you know, like whatever judgments you think people around you may have. And that's something that I've also been exploring because the energies that start to move through me want to move me in very different ways than I've ever like known to move. And you know, I remember being at the festival with you, and that right after we did that breath work, I think what was the group that came on after? It was so good. It was Parangi, right?
Prang, yeah, Parangay,
Yeah,
Rona.
Prangay. So, he came on, and I mean, I just love, I have so many of his songs like in my mm-hmm. medicine journeys and playlists. And so I just remember something was set free from our breath work exercise mm-hmm. that we did. And I just remember dancing like I have never truly moved in public with, like, I think there were at least 700-800 of us in that room because it was still not the full festival yet. And the music, the way it moved through my body and the way I allowed my, it was so different and it felt free. It felt beautiful, I guess is a word I want to use. But I remember feeling like there was also a release, like something mm-hmm. was being released through me and being let go forever that had been maybe perhaps held on or trapped inside of me that I didn't even know really what it was. But I think what it was this idea of needing to be a certain way or move a certain way or show up in a certain way and to not care to, that's total freedom, is to not really care from the sense of it doesn't matter. It's my experience. It's my reality. I'm going to choose to experience whatever way I want. And the truth of the matter is no one else is really paying attention to me anyways. They're all paying attention to themselves and what they're going through. And I think that's something that as we go through this journey, we let go of this idea of how much people maybe care about us, which, you know, also again is through the attachment of the codependent relationships that keep us so imprisoned in our bodies, not allowing us to experience this reality and cross through different dimensions. And so in that space and time, all of us in that room were actually moving through different dimensions because of the allowance that comes through that body movement. And what I've learned through just even the allowance and seeing what it means to be in that state of dance or allowing light language to come through via hand movements or sounds that sound, you know, very different. They're not what they're uncomfortable to come out of your, you know, your mouth. To allow that is tuning you into other dimensions that I think so many of us are interested in and wanting to learn more about and access, but we don't realize that by holding ourselves back through the body, we're limiting how much we can communicate and access.
Yes. I believe this is the kind of threshold that we're upon to recognize and see and feel through energy versus all the stereotypes and labels that we have for each other to put one another inside boxes in this world. It's like when we can actually connect and feel into the energy without attachment to any labels, we can actually access our true power and source and like access portals that we didn't even realize were available to us. And I think we're on this threshold of discovering more and more the potentiality of what our intelligence holds and where we can go, what we can do with one another when we tap into this energetic field. So for me, like learning this along the way and like kind of, I had to trust myself even with my self-consciousness, I had to begin to trust this like quieter voice that was pulling me towards my body. And it's all been a part of the journey. And now I'm realizing the bigger effect and actually what's happening where I've been guided with the embodied effect, where when we go to festivals and these places and gather and allow the energy to move and just for the sake of play too, for the sake of like enjoyment, pleasure, we recognize like, wow, we start to reframe and repattern what we can choose in our life. And you start to recognize how much we've been told that pleasure is bad and that, you know, you shouldn't feel too good because it'll take away from others and all these concepts and ideas. And then you get into sexuality. Well, there's been so much to keep people back from and in shame around their sexuality. And yet, there is like true freedom and power when we can come into like the sovereign synergy and attunement with our own energy. This is where I think the real power is. And this is when we access that, that's where synchronicities even open up more. And you can just be in flow in a greater trust of life and of and with the divine. It's pretty magical.
It is magical. It's so magical. I mean, even like I remember such a dear client of mine, Stacy, who was at our last retreat and she'll be there next month. One of the things that she got, the messages that she got was, sorry, my dog's barking.
What's your dog's name?
Oh, Bowie, the cleaners have just arrived, so he just is protecting the home. He's doing his job.
Oh.
So w when Stacy, she got a message to just keep dancing. Like every time she wanted to like understand something and comprehend it in her mind, the message she kept getting was just dance. Just dance. Don't worry about it, just dance. And
Love
I
it.
think that is so important. And you can take that message, everyone can take that message and apply it to their own healing journey in many different ways. Sometimes it's so much better to not think about it. It's just better to move your body. What does that anger want to do in your body? What does that sadness want to do? What does that pleasure want to do? And just let it move through your body because when it's released and it moves through you, it's no longer stuck somewhere, which means, again, when I think about our traumas and when things happen, we get paralyzed, we freeze, we don't know what to say. And sometimes you don't have to say anything, you've just got to move.
Yeah. And that's the permission to move, permission to be with what is, permission to feel. Those are also all things we've been told not to do all of our life. So of course they feel in counterintuitive.
Yeah.
We live in a society that's like, go, 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 keep going, pushing, don't care about yourself, care about the, bottom line. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. There's actually like major freedom, major reconstruction available to how we get to approach life and enjoy life now, be present now, connect and have that intimacy now. It doesn't take that long, but we just have to give ourselves that spark of permission to try it. Okay,
Yeah.
evidence of wait, that felt kind of good. That felt good.
Yeah.
I feel better. And then keep just and then that's the like personal responsibility of you choosing this every day in the moment that you remember, where you normally would go into that go, go, go mode versus like, you know what? Let me do where I'm actually being put, what I really like. And just that practicing. And that's the embodiment, that's the integration. When no one's looking, what do you choose for yourself? That's really gonna allow your inner strength and power to guide you in a way that is truly aligned with likely what who you want to be
Yeah,
and how you want to do things.
I agree. I think we've perhaps minimized the intelligence held within our body that if we were to allow it to just do its job in a sense of, okay, we understand there's so much being taught about like the right nutrition, so the body knows how to do everything from like a cellular level, but we haven't really gone deep enough as a society and understanding what the movement of the body, the intelligence of how the body knows how to move to release certain energies. And yes, there are people that are doing that work, but I don't think it's fully given enough depth and understanding and credit for the work that can come through just simple movement and turning off the mind and just allowing everything to be felt, and then what that feeling wants, how that body wants to respond through movement by feeling that feeling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
I think it's a really big part of the healing journey that could unlock a lot for people where they feel stuck.
Totally. And like, if it's something that you're willing to practice, then it's a gift that you have for life. Anytime a trigger happens or that moment of stuckness, you start to realize, okay, let me just take that space behind closed doors. Let me do it by myself. Put on some music, flow through it. Just let it move. That's literally all it takes. Just giving yourself permission and then letting it flow. You know, that's what I found for all those years when I wasn't sharing what I was doing behind closed doors. But I had to be willing to create that space. And that's why, you know, when I started to teach, and it's funny, the word, the embodied effect, didn't drop until I think 2 years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago. So I called it just like embodiment at first, but the embodied effect dropped in. And shortly after, I don't know if you heard J-Lo, like, she created something that I called like the J-Lo effect. And I was like, oh, there's something in the field. Like, it's happening. It's some consciousness is rising. Long story short, though, I hope that, you know, by continuing this work with people, there's a call that I have because I can hear people wanting to do this work together. They want to do this work. They want spaces where they can just dance and feel themselves and soberly, not like taking five shots of tequila to be able to move, but really to be in conscious, intentional space with themselves. Especially for those, like for me, meditation for me was never exciting. I was like, I would meditate. Oh my, I was like, is it working yet? Kind of thing. And I thought I had to be a good meditator. And I realized actually this movement could be a meditation. And so I find there are different ways that everyone expresses, but for those who feel the call, I can feel the energy of so many people wanting to continue this work. So I think we're on the precipice of something really exciting.
I can barely sit still in my meditations anymore. My body, as soon as I'm like hitting that frequency, it's like, oh yeah, time to move. And so it's literally my meditations are dancing on a meditation cushion now. Like, it's very rarely that I'm sitting there still. And it's not that, again, it's not that that doesn't have a purpose, because it does. It has served me in other places, but it's just not where I'm at anymore. You know, it's like, no, like my body wants to move. And I'm like, well, if it wants to move, then let's let it move. Why do I have to stop it? You know, why can't I like be in meditation and be dancing and moving and all that fun stuff? And it's like, yeah, you're right. How we choose to express anything, I think, is really starting to evolve, and understanding that, yeah, there are basic and fundamental techniques that we can try. But at the end of the day, we should all be adapting it to work for ourselves. We should be listening to what works for us. But yeah, if you're not connected to your body, you won't know what's working for you because you're too busy trying to think about it, externalize it. Oh, it's supposed to be this way. That person did it this way. I need to do it that way. And it's like, no, like just explore, be in the moment, feel it. What does it feel like for you? Maybe it's going to be different. Just a really quick question before we close off. I want to know, if someone were to be perhaps anyone in the audience right now, and they're like, you know what, I'm going to try this. I'm going to learn to embody and feel things and not like worry about what they mean or what that emotion means or what anything. And they're just guided to go into the body, but it starts to feel really uncomfortable. What would you say to someone who's trying to move more into the embodied effect, but they're also starting to feel that discomfort that makes them want to stop and shut down? How do you get people to move through that?
Yeah, well, one is, you know, resistance and anything that you're feeling, if we can take away the labeling of what it means, literally it's just sensation, it's energy moving through you. So if we can break it down to just like, it's all energy, no matter where we're feeling it in our body, that's really the practice to breathe through it. Your breath, of course, is so important because you don't want to be dancing. and not breathing, right? So I'm guiding people to continue breathing. Oh, you feel that resistance? Okay, allow it to come along for the ride. Breathe through, take another 5 deep breaths, and just continue trusting where your body wants to go. And it could be the very slightest movement. It could be so slight and slow where your body wants to move. Can you trust yourself to go that slowly and even trust yourself in the slowness? Because it's really a retraining of like how to be present with what is, not making it need to be different or look different. So it's coming into presence and breathing through and just trusting to continue. And really, that's it. It's to the basic point. It's like expect your resistance to come up. Expect your mind to talk you out of it. Expect your mind to say, this is ridiculous. I look ridiculous. This is uncomfortable. All these things. Expect that to come. Breathe through it and allow it to be along. It is a necessary part of the journey. Because what we're doing is we are really allowing all of ourselves, every single part, we're welcoming it into the present moment. And that's where we redefine and come into a true state of being. And that's what we're practicing. So
that's great. I love how you, and you know, I think one of the most important things that you said in there was like, can you slow it down? Can you move that slowly? I think whenever we're feeling something, we want to just rush through it. Like just want to get this over with. But like, what if you slow the entire process down to almost literally like frame by frame, fractal by fractal, and just was like, let me just, you know, see it down to the most basic form.
Yeah.
And like really slow it down, because I think there's a lot of power behind that. When you're willing to slow a process down that's uncomfortable, that allows you to feel so much more. And then now you're in control in a sense, because you're guiding it. You're willing, you're open, you're receiving, you're receptive to it all. And all of those things open up gateways for the body.
Yes, 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 yes. And it's in those moments where you're allowing yourself to feel and surrender into whatever's coming up, you're strengthening the sense of safety within you. You're no longer dismissing it. You're no longer making it wrong. You're no longer pretending it's not there. You are being so fucking truthful with yourself. Authentic, precise truth. You're not, it's there. So you are consciously with it. And that is what builds safety. It's what builds trust. And no one, and that's what builds this like unfuckable with foundation. No matter what happens in your life or whatever comes at you, or, you know, whatever road bumps that you come up against, you start to build this inner power and this confidence. Woo! It's a beautiful way to move and lead yourself through the world.
Yes. Great way to finish it, because you're so correct. There is so much safety that is found through the trust of your own authentic being and state, and willing to be there, slow it down, feel everything. You are building a new sense of foundation, that unfuckable with foundation, because if you're willing to go there and feel all of it, it doesn't matter where anyone else tries to take you. You've already gone to the scariest places. Like, no one else can take you out of that. Like, you're starting to build that foundation. So that's so important. I love that so much.
Yeah. And I like, literally, I'll if I feel moments of anger or shame, I'm like excited to then meet myself, because I know how. I have evidence for myself. So I'm like, I got my own back. And that's a beautiful just gift to have throughout your life.
Yeah. So important. Wow. I love this. Thank you so much, Juliet, for coming on the show.
Thanks for inviting me.
Let my audience know if they want to connect with you, if they want to reach out to you. What have you got going on, and where can they find you?
Yeah. Flowtrue.com is my website. Also Flowtrue on Instagram. Feel free to come say hi. message me if you have any questions or anything like that. That's my main hub. So I have also Conscious Woman Rising, Conscious Man Rising. They're like my side hubs, but Flow True is where everything's funneled through. So come find me there.
Amazing. Guys, if you're really looking for embodiment, I highly suggest checking Julia's at stuff out. And of course, if you're looking for a truly transformational healing experience over the course of 3 days, think about coming to the retreat, Forbidden Journey Retreat. We're doing a soul metamorphosis in Breckenridge, Colorado, and we will be doing a lot of embodiment there. It will be extremely powerful. I'd love to see you there. There are still a couple tickets left. You can fill out the application in the link below to apply. Guys, I love you so much. Have an incredible week, and I'll be back with you next time.
Thanks again for joining me for another show on the Enlighten Up podcast. I love you guys so much for all of your continued support. So remember to raise your vibe, find your tribe, and be open to the infinite possibilities held in the mysteries that surround us all. Thanks again for sharing the show with your family and friends. And if you're new to the show and you need to find out more information about me, please head on over to my website, NicoleFrolic.com, where you can join my newsletter. And please follow me on Instagram, Telegram, and YouTube. Keep your light bright, and I'll see you next week.